Good evening, Doug. Thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Staff.
What's your take on what's going on? I'd like you to share with our listeners your view of unfolding events.
Well, I think, you know, as I comment from time to time and shows like yourself, is that, you know, people talk about the last days are worth the end of this age, and my comment is that we are at the end of the end of this age. Israel is back in the land as prophesied. We see all the various events that are talked about in the scriptures that talk about the alignment of nations that would be in place against Israel towards the end. That configuration is completely in place. I think we see basically the church in the West is predominantly in a state that is defined, I believe, in Revelation as Laodicea. I'm rich and I have need of nothing. And Jesus says, you do not know that you're poor, miserable, blind, wretched, and naked. And I'm not speaking of every church, but I think, generally speaking, we've been dumbed down as Christians. I think the church, a place where people would be trained in the Word of God systematically, that's pretty much gone by the wayside.
I agree with you totally, and I think we're in real trouble, and I don't think most Christians understand that. Because, of course, they've changed the message, they've changed the music of our churches, and boy, you go to church, and lots of times you come out, you feel real good. Look at Joel Osteen's church, you know, 20,000-30,000 people attend his services, because he tells them what they want to hear. People don't want to hear the message Doug is giving, that we're in real trouble as a nation, we're in real trouble as a society. We're in real trouble because I said that God is going to bring his judgment on this earth. He promised he would, and I think it's coming. Go right ahead, Doug.
Well, yeah, as we've talked in the past, I think one of the best-kept secrets that has been kept from those that are responsible to teach the Word of God, and I'm referring to pastors primarily, is the ability for those that are at the head of the New World Order, as you have referred them so well in your book, the Brotherhood of Darkness, they have devised a way through using trauma-based mind control to infiltrate the church, to infiltrate ministries, to compromise the spiritual character and the spiritual potency of what God intended the church to be. The church is, wherever there is a true salt and light, our enemy knows that that is a potential threat to him. So, through trauma-based mind control, dissociation, what used to be referred to as multiple personality disorder, it's a perfect vehicle and means to infiltrate the church and compromise that which should be the effective ministry of the body of Christ.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that we're just... our job is to try to get people to see what's going on. I'm sure the people who listen to programs like this know there's a problem, but there's just so many good people out there who are just never hearing much of anything, and certainly you're not going to get this message from the regular churches, from the emerging churches. You're not going to get it even from any of the old mainline churches, which is preaching a different gospel. And, of course, we have a small number of ministers out there who are really doing a great job, and I'm amazed at how many are very supportive of what we do. But the important thing is that they're there, and certainly we encourage people, if you've got a church that's addressing the issues and just preaching the Word of God and the inerrancy and infallibility of our scriptures, why, you stick with them and you support them because they need your help. And believe me, they're going to be coming under tremendous pressure in these latter days. Certainly the last thing Satan wants is for people to hear the truth and to be prepared spiritually for what lies ahead.
Yes. I think what has been confusing for some is they've heard the various interviews that I have done is they'll ask the question, well, are you saying that Christians could be demon-possessed that have gone through this horrific abuse? And I say, absolutely not. If a person is truly born again, and those, Dr. Stan, are the only people I work with, they can't be possessed because they belong to God. But what happens during systematic trauma-based mind control is that spirits can become attached and enter the person's identity and their persona through the trauma and attach to the person. And so the very term demon possession in the New Testament, daimonizomai, means...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Doug works a lot with people who are certainly a demon, not possessed, but obsessed, or demon, certainly, he works with people who have multiple personalities, or disassociated personalities, spiritual forces working within their lives, and many times they don't even understand how this came about. Some of these, of course, are victims of government programs. For instance, Ted Kaczynski, most people don't understand the Unabomber was actually the victim of a CIA mind control program. There's a book written about it. We have it in our library. And when Chris Grew was at Harvard, why he entered this program, and they paid him, and they simply systematically destroyed his faith in everything, in God and family and country. And then after destroying this man's mind, they turned him loose on society. And we should be surprised that we have the Unabomber. But why doesn't anybody talk about the CIA's involvement in the programming of Ted Kaczynski? And of course, then you have the other people who are victims of satanic mind abuse, certainly. And sometimes there's an overlap there because there is a dark component, certainly, within our intelligence agencies where there's a spiritual component introduced into people. But, Doug, you work with the people all the time, predominantly Christians, who have these spiritual problems. So why don't you just sort of develop this idea? Because really what people don't understand is there are probably millions of people who have disassociated personalities here in the United States, definite victims of these mind control programs, whether they're satanic, whether they're CIA. And so you know Colin Ross, don't you, who wrote the CIA Doctors?
Yes, in fact, one of his clients came to me a number of years ago who had been on his clinic there in Dallas, and she called me because they had referred, someone had spoken about me at the time, and so she called me and wanted to talk with me, and I just do my repertoire of asking questions, and I asked her how it went, you know, when she was there. And Dr. Ross had actually worked with her, and she told me that she was integrated, that she was finished. And so I did the little thing that I do is ask a few questions to see just you know, if that's true, which I don't do anymore. But she was manifesting on the phone within about 10 minutes in a different personality state, highly demonized, and yet she had come back from there, and she thought she was through. And the point is that I can appreciate those people like Dr. Ross. He's done a great work, but I do not believe he's a professing Christian. So what I'm saying is that the secular people, as well-meaning as they may be, they cannot touch the spiritual component. And if you don't understand the spiritual dynamics that with the trauma-based mind control, there are spiritual entities that are purposely channeled in and attached to the person's identity structure, and I mean it can be a vast, a complex system, and if a person doesn't understand the spiritual component, they will not be ultimately free. But I do appreciate his work and what he has done, but I have to say frankly that if you don't know the Lord, then there will be you will only be able to take these people so far.
I think you're absolutely right, and I don't think he is coming from a Christian point of view. I think he understands the dissociative personality,
yes.
But if you don't understand the spiritual component of what's going on today, you can't understand what is really taking place any more than you can understand what's taking place politically, and if you don't understand the spiritual forces. And we can talk all we want to about Republicans and Democrats and philosophy and right and left and liberal and conservative, but if you don't understand the spiritual forces, well, you can't understand what is really taking place. If you're dealing with these people, these tragic people with the dissociative personalities, if you don't realize the spiritual forces that are at work, why, of course, you're never going to be able to get them completely well. I mean, they may think they're well, they may be able to function better, but of course, this is a matter of the soul as much as it is of the mind. So you pick the story up because you deal with these people. How long have you been dealing with these people with dissociative personalities?
Well, I actually started in 1985, but I didn't recognize the disorder as what it was then called, multiple personality disorder, until 1991. Then I began to go to seminars, professional seminars, where, you know, psychologists were going for postgraduate work, because I wanted to understand the trauma side of the disorder. And so I began to study and learn as much as I could through the years in the 90s to at least understand the psychological dynamics. But then most of what I've learned spiritually is, on the spiritual side, is just actually working with these people. So it's been over 25 years now, and as I look back, if I wish I knew what I knew today, because the people that I had to learn on, they had to travel, it's a long and slow journey while they're waiting for people like me to learn. But now we've got some people that have come to us, young people, and within 2 years we have covered more ground in terms of undoing highly complex program. We've done more in 2 years than what we, when we were on the learning curve, it took us 15 to 20 years previously.
And of course, one of the things I first got invested in this back about 1994, when I first went on the air and people kept calling me and telling me about how terrible these false memories were, syndromes were, and how these people are being programmed with false memories about just the trauma-based mind control. And of course, it really wasn't. It was all imaginary. It wasn't real. And there were organizations on the false memory syndrome, and since they were, they would have the convention meetings, and yet people would go there, and Chris, all about false memory, and Chris, but who was organizing this? Why, the CIA was organizing it, because people were beginning to understand what had been done to them, and they had to convince them it was all in their mind, none of this was real. And there were people like Jolly West and other people, key officials of the CIA, organizing all across America chapters of the false memory syndrome, trying to make people believe that all these memories that they had were coming flooding back and devastating their minds, were all just false memories. And the government spent a great deal of money trying to cover their tracks, didn't they?
Yes, and in fact, Dr. Ewan Cameron, who was experimenting there in Montreal, the people that he destroyed, there was a class action lawsuit against him, and I think there was at least 9 or 10 in one particular group that collected, and you know, it was the CIA that was sued, because it was the CIA that was sponsoring it, and they settled. I mean, it never went to court, so why was it settled? But they didn't want the publicity. And the point is, why were they using, and why did they establish the false memory syndrome as a front? I think two reasons: to cover their investment and what they were doing, but also to just defame those that would sue them, and distract from the fact that what these people were reporting really happened. So, yeah, it was a cover up, and it's not just the CIA. The people I've worked with, they were programmed at Tavistock Institute outside of London. That has been was a major programming center, not known to the public. If it went to Tavistock, you would not necessarily see that, but they have facilities that were actually pioneered in terms of protocols by Dr. Josef Mengele in Germany, and Dr. John Bowlby, and others, Piaget. These people are all gone now, and there are others that have filled in their shoes, but this is a protocol that was developed under Josef Mengele in Nazi Germany to split the personality and to basically channel in spirits so that that person would become a weapon and to carry out an agenda in various fronts, in society and government, military, and a strategic target was the church. And it was supernaturally driven. I mean, yes, there were human beings that were involved and were very committed to this cause, but if we don't understand that the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, as we see in Ephesians 2:2, the spiritual forces of wickedness that are in the heavenlies, Ephesians 6:12, if we don't see how that interfaces and drives all this, then we're very ignorant of our worldview and where we are in history.
Well, so you mentioned Dr. Mengele the last time we talked. You know, certainly everybody should know that Dr. Mengele was allowed to escape to South America. He was part of the rat line, financed in large part by the CIA and British intelligence and a small satanic component working at the upper echelons of the Vatican. It's the Rat Line, R-A-T. You can certainly look it up on the Internet. There were somewhere between 10 and 50,000 of the most vicious Nazis who were allowed to escape to South America. Only two of them were ever apprehended. The Jews didn't go after them because they made a deal with Nelson Rockefeller. Nelson Rockefeller would give them the votes to get the state of Israel, but they had to promise they wouldn't go after the Nazis in South America. And Nelson Rockefeller told them, you can either have a Jewish state or you can have vengeance. Which do you want? Well, they took the Jewish state. But that's why the Jews never tried to get the Nazis in South America. They knew they were there. They knew where they were all across the world. But, of course, they had made a deal, and it was a bad deal, but they had to put up with it. They wanted the votes in the United Nations to establish the State of Israel. But I talked to actually three different people in my career that said that they had met Dr. Mengele in this country. I asked Dr. Colin Ross if he had ever encountered anybody who said that he had encountered Dr. Mengele, and he said he'd had several of his people who'd encountered in this country Dr. Mengele, who's actually here working on these mind control problems. And I guess Doc, have you ever encountered anybody who said that they encountered Mengele?
Yes, in fact, we just did an interview with a number of our survivors, some from our assembly here and some from out of state. I did an interview here about 2 months ago, and people can listen to those interviews. It's titled Remembering Dr. Mengele, and it is the testimony of those who were involved in his programming and trauma-based mind control.
People are getting are improving far better. Do you think that the people who are coming from this from a Christian point of view certainly do better than the average individual?
Oh, yes. In fact, because of the insurance and the way the secular model works, they usually try to get people to a place where they're dysfunctional and be able to cope, and they have in the internal system is not necessarily fully integrated. But from my point of view is that James 1:4, it's God's purpose that a believer be whole, that is sound, holokleros, and mature, and lacking in nothing. And so since that's in the Word of God, my emphasis is just to keep pressing through until the person is no longer has any dissociative symptoms, and they have their life back, basically what was taken from them. And the dissociation means they're not in touch with the history of their trauma. And so the goal is to go into these areas where they are dissociated and release them from that captivity, so that which has been dissociated can become reassociated with their everyday life and be restored and fruitful for God.
Well, how many people are there out there that you think would have these disassociated personalities?
Well, you know, Russ Izdar has done the demographics on this, and he cites Dr. Colin Ross's research. They're in the millions. If you take just the generation after post-World War II, there could be, you know, 4 or up to perhaps 10 million. But then we're in the third and fourth generation now, so it's in the tens of millions out there, and the majority of them are not getting help. And the problem is that the kind of work that we do, you have to learn as an apprentice. You can't read a book and sit down and do this. I mean, you have to understand trauma and the fact that denial is one of the primary defense mechanisms. And so you have to understand the dynamics and work through this. So it is an extended process, but if people are trained correctly, then the process can be narrowed down, provided that the person who is seeking help really means business with the Lord and is willing to own their history and see the immense evil that they've been basically abducted and involved with from birth, basically.
Well, how do you approach this? In other words, do you just get them to talk about this, or certainly is this really what it is? Do you do it through prayer? What is the approach that works?
It's a curve. And when a person first comes to you, usually they're having different problems. They may be hearing voices often, or they're depressed. And so I just work with each person and gather a history of their whatever they can share with me about their history, and do an assessment. And through prayer, I have a protocol of questions that I ask that can test to see if there's dissociation. And if there is dissociation there, then different aspects of that person's identity will begin to come forward, because I know the questions they ask that would. If there is trauma there, it will present itself a certain way. If it's not, it won't. And so once I begin to work with the internal dividedness and see how things are structured, then we just begin to work with the internal system and move systematically towards helping the host, the primary presenting person,
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Doug says that a lot of these people, they may hear voices, Sydney. Had some of them actually been able to function and function fairly well in society for some years until something triggers them off? I mean, are some of these people misdiagnosed as schizophrenic?
Yes. In fact, Dr. Richard Kluft and Dr. Frank Putnam, who are secular MDs, but they've done very good work with dissociative identity disorder, written good books. He said the primary misdiagnosis up until the mid-80s was schizophrenia. And schizophrenia is a biological disorder. It can only be treated with drugs, not treated with therapy, whereas dissociative identity disorder is a trauma-related disorder, and it can only be dealt with through counseling or therapy. So, but working with these people, you just work with them where they are. And as these different areas begin, the dissociation, the amnesia, the denial begins to break down, then as they get in touch with these different areas of trauma, they will go into child states, and some of these states will be very charged demonically. So we have to clear off the demonic attachments so that we can get to the humanity that's been damaged. And they'll be in various age states when they come forward, in infant states, child states. And a person that works with this is very familiar, but someone who is not, they need to be trained and see how it works. And once they get familiar with the process, then people who have this history can begin to get help.
Well, how would you separate, say, schizophrenia from one of these multiple, multiple personalities, these trauma-based alterations of the personality?
Okay. Well, as I said, schizophrenia is, according to the literature and diagnosis, is a brain disorder. It's an actual disease. It can only be treated with drugs. In other words, counseling a schizophrenic will not help them. If people have seen the movie It's a Beautiful Mind, he basically was delusional, hallucinogenic. He heard voices outside of his head. Whereas a person who is a multiple dissociated, they don't hear voices outside their head, they hear voices inside their head. And it's not a disease, it is a trauma-related disorder. So it's a completely different diagnosis, but different clinicians, depending on how they interpret what's presenting, it's often one of the most misdiagnosed. It could be diagnosed as borderline, it could be diagnosed as bipolar, attention deficit. These can be just aspects or facets of DID, where a person is actually more complex in terms of their response to trauma. So it takes some time and some skill to be able to understand this. But with the Lord's help and the perseverance, it's like anything else. You become more adept at being able to understand and work with this, and so.
Well, now, are these people paranoid at all? Do they believe that people are conspiring against them, or is that would be more likely schizophrenic?
No, it's different with each person. It depends on where you are, Dr. Stan, in their journey. You may, if you go into a particular area of their life that's dissociated, they may be in a state of terror. But once you help facilitate them and ground them and release that part of their identity that's been trapped in terror, to come into the present, as I use the term, and reconnect with their host person, then it diffuses and it's the problem is solved. But yeah, these people can be triggered by various things in their everyday life, in marriage, if they're, you know, usually intimate issues between husband and wife, that will trigger sexual abuse, and so they have difficulties in marriage and having a normal relationship. So there are a number of ways to assess and access these areas that involve a trauma that's trapped through dissociation and help the person reassociate with these areas and come to wholeness.
And the difficulty is that so many doctors, many psychiatrists don't even recognize these things. I mean, I know that some of them do. I know one of my very good friends, a woman we knew quite well, actually went to a psychiatrist for some time, and finally he just said, you know, I really can't help you, but what you ought to do is go up and see this gentleman. And he first did this. He was a grass farmer up in Oregon, and he had a very, very good certainly, coming from a Christian point of view, was able to help many, many people with dissociative personalities. But the average psychiatrist really wouldn't even recognize this.
No, that's correct. Yeah, and psychologists are more acceptable in some areas. But it's interesting, in Great Britain, the greatest resistance to even recognizing the diagnosis is found in Great Britain, and I understand why. Now knowing that's the center of so much occult activity, and of course Tavistock Institute being there.
And Chris Tavistock is one of the centers of this whole thing. Well, our guest, of course, is Doug Riggs. He's an ordained minister, has his church, but this is his calling. This is his ministry on the Sydney, and he counsels people with dissociative personalities. Are many of the people actually able to function and function fairly well for a period of years until something triggers off a problem?
Yes, you have a whole range. You have people that have this history. They can be very highly dysfunctional and have all kinds of problems maintaining jobs. They have a history of medical issues that are not resolved. That can be included in the spectrum, all the way up to very high-functioning people who do not have a clue that this is in their history.
And then what happens? Something comes along and precipitates this?
Often with women, they become depressed, and they enter therapy or counseling because of depression. And then as the people begin to work through finding the source of what is going on, they find that there's a traumatic source and there's a reason for their depression. Or they may start hearing voices, or they find themselves being triggered or had panic attacks and they don't know why. They have maybe suicidal ideation or certain kinds of fantasies that are plaguing them and they can't get rid of them through spiritual warfare. There could be a whole plethora of symptoms depending on each individual and, you know, where they are in terms of their own history and walk with God, as well as their own personal history.
Well, would some of the times it would be delusional, frankly delusional?
Usually the people I'm working with and that I know, they're not really delusional. What happens is that when the amnesia begins to break down, that's a protection that keeps them from knowing what happened. The chief pathognomonic for chronic trauma is amnesia, and it's very important to understand this. So when those amnesic barriers begin to break down, well, some of their history and the traumatic states begin to emerge. And when they do, it's called a flashback, and it can be very shocking. It can be very disorienting, and a person that understands this can help that person work through that.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Doug Riggs, and we're talking about certainly the dissociative personalities that affect so many people in America today. And these are trauma-based. In many instances, they come from either government programs or from satanic families. Many of them are raised in satanic families with satanic ritual abuse. But, of course, what happens is they develop dissociative personalities because they don't like to think about these things from their past. And, of course, as they grow older, sometimes these things come back again, rushing back, and totally disable them. Could this really be real? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I've known people that certainly had this sort of problems, and we've talked to other people who've actually treated them. First of us, Dizdar, talks about this. He's analyzed this, and Russ will be on with us soon. he feels that there are millions of these people, many of them have been programmed for the coming crisis in our society in Christie. They will be triggered. They have been prepared. When the word is given, these people begin participating in all sorts of just totally irrational action, create a state of disruption in our society. And they're simply waiting to be triggered, almost like a Manchurian candidate. Well, now, did you participate in this big conference that they had in the East here, Tom Horn had put on?
Yes, I went to Branson, and it was quite a large gathering there, over 650 attendees. And it's very interesting, Dr. Stan. I went to hear Doug Woodward, who is he co-authors with Tom Horn, and they're working on projects together. He's written three books, and he would be a great guest for you to interview. In fact, I'll be visiting with him tomorrow. But
if you wouldn't mind just emailing me his address, a telephone number, I'll be glad to get hold of him. I would like to get him on.
Okay, sure.
I've
heard
good things about him.
Yes, he's a tremendous man. Well, I went to his workshop. It was titled Antichrist and Übermensch, which is the German term for Overman or Superman. And he gave a tremendous history going back to Madame Blavatsky and Eckhart, who initiated Hitler into the occult. And he was up there talking in the workshop, and then he got towards the end, and he says, well, now, there's these reports of these Nephilim mothers. And he referred to that and with Russ Dizdar, and I looked at him. I said, "Well, that's not Russ. That's me. I was the one that posted the Nephilim mother interviews." And so I just explained that to him. And so he asked me to come up and share at the end of the presentation, which is all videoed. I mean, it's videoed on his program. So we got to talking afterwards and emailing. And he has a desire to learn more about this and how this fits into the whole New World Order and the agenda to bring in Antichrist. So,
well, tell us what about the Nephilim mothers now. I'm not really acquainted with that. So we know the Nephilim, they were certainly the byproduct of the demonic spirits and the daughters of men. And, of course, they had created the giants, and they certainly were one of the reasons why, of course, God intervened and destroyed the earth after about 1,600 years, and brought the great flood. And the purpose of the flood was to destroy all living things that were not on the ark. And certainly then, of course, starting in literally all over again. And there is so much evidence. I mean, really is scientific evidence, not just the Bible. But if you haven't seen the DVDs we have, it's called The Judged Creation, put out by Pastor Billy Crone. I think it's 10 DVDs. We just finished them. All the evidence that the story of Noah and the Ark is real, but of course the Nephilim were here before, and they were somehow here if they were here after, which, as Pastor Crone points out from the scriptures, the Nephilim were here before the flood, when the earth was, of course, consumed with evil, and then they were here afterwards. What's this about Nephilim mothers?
Well, those are the title of the interviews that I've done over the past couple of years. I've done several interviews titled Nephilim Mothers. And what it is, it's those that we're working with that have been ritually abused, that are descendants of members of the royal family in Europe. They describe their history, their experience in abuse, that they were basically selected by their fathers. The fathers would sire these women, but in order to have wealth and power, and influence as heads of the New World Order, they had to give the women over to the programmers and the powers of darkness so that they would be used in the hybrid breeding program that is now going on. And Jesus prophesied this. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be at the return of the Son of Man, Matthew 24:37. There's a similar prediction in Luke 17. And so these women, survivors of satanic ritual abuse, they just describe their history of how they were used, part of the current hybrid breeding program that many have talked about for years. Dr. David Jacobs has interviewed a number of these people. Here's the videos. He wrote a book called The Threat. And even though he's not a Christian, he's very concerned about the vast proliferation that this program has been going on for decades. And so as strange and bizarre as this sounds, these women have reported exactly the phenomenon that is described in Genesis 6.
and they all tell pretty much the same story then, without knowing one another.
Oh, yes. I mean, I've not only people here, but I worked with this one person. I cannot name her, but if I named her, people would know. She went by a code name. She wrote all these different articles on ritual abuse. She was a survivor. She came and worked with me, and when I just do what I do and helping them get in touch with their trauma, when we started to go into this area of conception, of a conception event at age 13, she jumped up and ran out of the room. And I just stayed there. I just waited. Something was triggering her. When she came back, this very strong persona was saying, so-and-so is not ready for this. We cannot proceed any further. I said, well, that's your choice. And from that moment on, that woman has never posted anything on her website again. Why? Because where we were, she was getting in touch with the memory of a conception event where she had to produce hybrids. And it was so horrific that her denial system came out, a protector came out, and blocked the main person from proceeding any further. So it's very traumatic. And there are people from all over that I've heard this from, but the people that I have interviewed on the Bite Show, these people have worked through this, and they've come out into a great measure of freedom and wholeness. And this is not just any kind of trauma. This is the most traumatic aspect of anyone's history of trauma, is the conception event that occurs as is described in Genesis 6.
As it was in the days of Noah. I mean, that, of course, is really what this is all about. And that basically, of course, the same forces are at work today that existed in the days before the Great Flood, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, and I think, if we understand the enemy, when he fell, only one-third followed him, Satan. We know that from the scripture in Revelation 12. So in order for him to make a stand in the last battle of Armageddon, as we see in Revelation chapter 16 and chapter 17 and chapter 19, where he will wage war against the Lamb, that's what it says, Satan and the armies of Antichrist, he must do something to fill in the ranks. He has to increase his numbers. And so the hybrid breeding program is the twofold. It's his way of building a vast army that's supernatural in power and strength. But also, its design is to, it's an attack upon mankind to thwart the purpose of God in people being saved, and of course the church coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. His goal is to buy as much time as he can. And this particular phenomenon that's going on, the reports we have, it began coincident with the birth of the nation of Israel, and it's been going on since.
So we're talking about, 50 years, a little over 50 years now, almost 60 years.
Yeah, the birth of the nation of Israel is the key prophetic sign that indicates that we're in the last generation. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can certainly know we're in the final generation.
And I really think that it's so difficult for the average individual to believe this sort of thing. I mean, we live in a material world. We live in a rational world. We live in a visible world. But there's a mystical world, a spiritual world, an invisible world out there. And there really are spiritual forces. A lot of people find it very difficult to believe that there is this other entity out there, this other force. Because, unless, of course, you deal with this, unless you talk to people who've been part of it, it just sounds, almost like something you'd see on television.
Yes. In fact, in the West, there's a professor of missiology. His name is Dr. Timothy Warner. He's a professor of missiology at Trinity Evangelical Seminary, which is a very, very top-level seminary. He wrote a book on spiritual warfare, and one of his chapters, I think chapter 2 and 3, is titled, What is Your Worldview? Something of that nature. And here was his comment as a professor of missiology. In the West, the Christians are the most secularized when it comes to the supernatural. If you go into third world nations, they're very much attuned to the biblical worldview in terms of the supernatural. But only in the West have we been dumbed down, and in a place where it's difficult for Christians to accept the biblical worldview of the supernatural and its effect that it has upon mankind. And of course, if you go to Genesis 6, Dr. Stan, they have the whole, I believe it's a heretical view, the line of Seth. The Baniha Elohim there, Job 1 and 2 and 38, they clearly refer to angels. And the sons of God are only a creation of God, whereas the daughters of men, whom they married, the word daughters of men there in Genesis 6 are daughters of Adam. So you have sons of God, daughters of Adam, and they mated. Why? It was Satan's assault on the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15 to corrupt that seed so that the Messiah would not be able to come as man. He had to be man to redeem us. So if we understand the strategy, if people go on Tom Horn's website, there's a book there titled Corrupting the Image by Doug Hamp. I met him at the conference. It's a tremendous book. He goes through a lot of this strategy. And so if people can get that, and there's others that have been written, Earth's Earliest Ages was released in 1876 by G.H. Pember, and he said that there were two eruptions, one in the pre-flood and one post-flood in the land of Canaan. He said there will be a third and final eruption of fallen angels just prior to the return of the Son of Man with the result of Nephilim returning to the earth. George Hawkins Pember in 1876 released that prophetic word that there would be a third and final eruption prior to the return of the Son of Man. But where have Christians heard this? Have Christians heard of I.D.E. Thomas's the Omega Conspiracy, Satan's final assault on the kingdom of God, where he connects all this with the UFO deception and how this is all a part of Satan's endgame? And the problem is that Christians have been dumbed down. I think pastors have been dumbed down because they haven't had the correct interpretation, at least of this passage. And if you don't have Genesis 6 correct, you know, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and Jude 6 and 7 makes it very clear that these angels that sinned were thrown into Tartarus, that is, the hell. Well, that isn't all of them. Satan's not in hell, so that's a specific group. So an accurate understanding of the Word of God, and if people were taught these things, this wouldn't sound so bizarre, Dr. Stan, that they were taught the Word of God as it should be taught.
Well, you know, I've lived in other countries, and in many of these other countries, why, of course, they're much more aware of the supernatural. We know, certainly, we lived in South Africa for a time, and there, of course, the people, really, at least the black population, really knew that there was a supernatural. In fact, they would go to the witch doctor before they go to the white doctor, and you'd always tell when they'd been to the witch doctor, because they'd have the burn marks on them, the three little vertical scars that they had from going to the witch doctor. But, of course, all the maids, we had a maid, and, of course, she had her bed up on paint cans, four paint cans, one under each leg of the bed. And we had no idea what that was until my wife went to a meeting, and a woman was there. She was a white witch doctor. She had actually was the wife of a trader that lived with the Venda people, and she was become a witch doctor, and she said, you know, if you have a maid, she puts her bed up on paint cans, and the reason she does is because there's a demon, he's called Togolots, and he will come and climb into bed with her if you don't have that. They believe this. Now, I'm not saying this is real, but they really believe this. They're so aware of the supernatural in these other countries, and here you talk about this sort of thing, people are just... they just laugh at you. But believe me, over there, they really do believe in the witch doctors, and the witch doctors sometimes do truly have supernatural power, and they certainly, this is true in Haiti, this is true in countries all throughout the world. We like to think of them as not as civilized as we are. But then I wonder if we, as our civilization has taken away from us the true view of reality and the spiritual battle that's being fought today for the souls of men and the survival of civilization.
Yes, and I think people would be interested in hearing that as a pastor of a Bible church, before I got into this work, there was a woman, she's just a sweet little lady with two kids, just a mom, plain everyday mom. She came banging on my door one day, rapidly saying, "I'm not the devil's child, I'm not the devil's child." She had the Bible in her hand, and she was just in a state of panic. She comes in, I didn't even know about multiple personality at the time, I was just teaching the Word of God, and her name is Judy. I said, "Judy, come in. What's going on?" And she kept rapidly saying, "I'm not the devil's child." I said, "Come in and sit down." And then she kept saying that. I said, "Judy, put the Bible down and tell me what's going on." I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, tell me what's going on." And she dropped the Bible. She went into a trance. She looked straight ahead. And in a guttural voice, "You can't have her. She's mine." That's what came out of her voice. And, of course, I knew. I said, this is a manifestation. So the battle was on, and this went on for several hours. She's crawling around on the floor like a snake and hissing and cursing and all this kind of thing. And And if knowing what I know now, I could probably dealt with it in about 10 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes. But back then, I didn't have time to go back in my study and revamp my view on demonology and how this could affect a Christian, Dr. Stan. I had to deal with it right on the spot.
Well, I think that the Christians better understand that there is this realm. It's not imaginary. It's real. And I think we're going to see more manifestations of the dark side of the spirituality. I mean, there are all sorts of things out there that are there. They're not imaginary. It gets into UFOs. It gets into demonic possessions. They're growing in intensity just as it was in the days of Noah. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Doug Riggs. Well, Doug, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Go right ahead.
Well, I've just encouraged people not to live in fear. God has not given us a spear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Ephesians 6, we're to put on the whole armor of God. And as people of God, as Christians, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we need to know our position in Christ. We need to know our resources in Christ. We need to be aggressive in evangelism. We need to be proactive and standing on the promises of God. Peter says, continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Hebrews 10 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I encourage people to be in a good fellowship where the Word of God is taught, where people love God, and live in community and have accountability. And these are the last days, but in the days of Noah, we still have Noah. He survived, and God made provision for him to go all the way through, and God's made provision for believers in our time to go all the way through to his purpose in these last days, to stand strong and to glorify him no matter how dark it gets.
I think it's important that people do understand exactly what's going on today. These things are not imaginary. They're really very, very real. They exist, and we do hope that more and more people will become aware of what's going on. Certainly, as you said, Sydney Rush Dizdar has said that these people are being programmed, and of course they'll be out there in the streets creating chaos and certainly doing everything to disrupt our society when the word is given. We don't know when that's going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. But we're going to have to be increasingly dependent upon our Lord, because if we don't have that, why, none of us are going to survive what lies ahead.
And I appreciate, Dr. Stan, this opportunity, and we pray that the Lord will continue to protect and bless you and the work that you've been so faithfully doing all these years.
Well, I'm sure he will protect you as well. It's something we're going to have to pray for one another, because I think we're entering such difficult and impossible times. Most people look upon this as the financial crisis or the political crisis or the cultural crisis. But behind all of it is that spiritual crisis we've been warned about. Our guest has been Doug Riggs, and I thank you so very much, Doug. We'll look forward to talking to you again sometime really very, very soon.
Thank you again, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. Okay. Well, that was Doug Riggs, and we hope you enjoyed this. But this was a very, very revealing program. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did.